remember Jesus Christ. And yet Paul knew that every one of us will be tempted to forget him in one way or another.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Paying the price. And it's based on these verses, verses 8 to 13 of the second chapter of 2 Timothy. And those verses form what we might call a paragraph in the biblical narrative, sort of a new section of thought in the second chapter, which in effect simply reinforce what Paul has already said and continue his basic theme. I think Paul is saying to us, with respect to the issue of Christian service, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7, that nothing that is easy is ever worthwhile. Or perhaps we could reverse that statement, and it would be even more accurate. Nothing that is worthwhile is ever easy. And I think Paul has already illustrated that point in the first 7 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's taught us that no soldier, no athlete, and no farmer expects results without discipline, without labor, without courage, without rigor, without a certain amount of suffering. He's illustrated that point very clearly. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. And there's nothing quite so worthwhile as the Christian experience. There's nothing quite so wonderful as knowing Jesus Christ, as being converted. Nothing quite so worthwhile as being born again and then becoming a disciple of the Son of God, but nothing worthwhile is ever easy. He's illustrated it metaphorically from the experience of the soldier, the experience of the athlete, and the experience of the farmer, the toiler. But having illustrated his theme by metaphor, Paul goes on to reinforce that theme from experience. And so in verses 8 to 13, he makes a threefold appeal to the experience of certain individuals or groups. In verse 8, he appeals to the experience of Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, he says. In the Greek New Testament, the order is this, and this would be a literal rendering of the Greek New Testament. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel. So he appeals to the experience of Jesus Christ. And then he appeals to his own experience in verses 9 and 10, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I've taught you in terms of metaphor what it means to be a servant of God. Now I want to reinforce those metaphors by actual experiences of living, breathing human beings, the Son of God, the Apostle Paul. And then he appeals to the common Christian experience of all believers identified there in verses 11, 12, and 13. And in each experience, the lesson is the same. In each experience, the lesson is the same. Very simply stated, it is this: no pains, no gains. No cross, no crown. That was the experience of the New Testament Christians. That was the experience of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the experience of the Apostle Paul. And it would be ludicrous for us to think that our Christian life and service should cost us nothing, if it costs them something to be the servants of God. And every one of us ought to be willing to pay the price, to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to experience his richest blessings in our lives and our ministries. Every one of us, like the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, like Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul and the New Testament Christians, every one of us, like them, ought to be willing to pay the price necessary to experience God's richest blessing in our lives and our ministries. And as I've said in this passage, Paul gives us 3 such experiences. I'm not going to go through all of them today or in succeeding weeks. In fact, I'm going to skip over some of the material. But I want you to see at least the basic outline. He appeals first to the experience of the Savior. If you want an outline, he appeals first to the experience of the Savior. That's verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. And then he appeals second to the experience of his servant, that is, of Christ's servant, namely himself. That's verses 9 and 10. And then he appeals finally to the experience of the saints in general. the common experience of the Christian populace, the community of believers in the New Testament era and in every era since. And that's in verses 11 to 13. And every one of them, the lesson is the same. No pains, no gains. No cross, no crown. The experience of the real world confirms the metaphors that Paul has used in illustrating what it means to be a Christian, as he spoke of the soldier, the athlete, and the hard-working toiler or farmer. Now let's look at the experience of the Savior. That's really all we're going to look at in this particular section of the narrative, but at least you have the basic outline and the flow of thought there. The experience of the Savior. Do you see that verse? Quite literally, Paul is saying in that verse, and I want to quote it to you very literally. It comes right out of the Greek New Testament. There are no variants in the text. This is a literal rendering of the text. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel. And as I look at that verse, there are two emphases that stand out to me, and they're the things I want to share with you as quickly as I can. There are two emphases that stand out to me. The first thing I see in that verse is Christ's preeminence. Remember Jesus Christ. Focus your mind upon Him. He is foremost. He is preeminent. He's the one with whom we ought to occupy our minds and our thoughts. He's the circle of thoughts and ideas that ought to consume our way of life. We ought to abide in Christ in that biblical sense. Christ's preeminence. Remember Jesus Christ. The second thing I see is Christ's position. How should we remember Him, Paul? In what terms should we remember Him? Remember Him, one, as the risen one, raised from the dead. Remember Him, two, as the reigning one of the seed of David. The one who has access to the throne of David. The one who has the right to sit on David's throne when God's kingdom is established. The one who will experience the glory, having experienced already the hardship. Remember Jesus Christ, how? The risen one, raised from the dead. To the reigning one of the seed of David, ascending to the position of prominence and glory and authority as God's kingdom is established on earth. First, let's begin with this idea, remember Jesus Christ. That's a good imperative for every one of us who are New Testament Christians to take seriously. Remember Jesus Christ, Christ's preeminence. You know, that's a curious imperative. It's a curious imperative. Such a command. It's in the imperative mode. It's a command. Present tense. Keep on remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very enunciation of the imperative carries with it the implication that there's the tendency to forget Him. At first sight, it seems like an extraordinary imperative to Timothy. How could Timothy ever forget Jesus Christ? Remember Jesus Christ. And yet Paul knew that every one of us would be tempted to forget Him in one way or another. Paul knew, and we all know, that the human mind and the human memory is notoriously fickle. It is possible on certain occasions for a perfectly rational person to forget his own name. Or forget the name of his spouse, or the name of one of his children. You ever do that? Looking across the dinner table some evening at your spouse with an expression of dull incomprehension and saying, "Do you know something? I forgot your name." It's possible for the human to do that, a perfectly rational human being to do that. The human memory is fickle, and Paul knew it. Paul knew that we could easily and quickly outlive our understanding of and appreciation for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord knew that. In fact, it was to overcome our forgetfulness that our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. Don't forget me. You know what the Lord's Supper is? The Lord's Supper is a fragrant forget-me-not. Don't forget me. Remind yourself periodically and regularly exactly what it cost me to purchase for you your powerful and mighty salvation. This do in remembrance of me. You'll forget if you don't remind yourself. It's a curious, it's an extraordinary, but it's an essential imperative. Remember Jesus Christ. What does it mean to forget God? What does it mean to fail to remember Jesus Christ? What does it mean? That's what Paul's talking about. What does it mean to forget God? Have you ever forgotten God? Maybe you have, in one sense. What does it mean to forget God? It does not mean that we fail to remember that He exists academically or mentally. It doesn't mean that He is banished from our minds. What it does mean is that He is banished from our behavior. It means that we fail to behave as though God exists, practically, academically, intellectually, mentally. We've not forgotten God. We know God is there. The name God is indelibly imprinted on the walls of our memory. We know that God is there. It doesn't mean academically or mentally or intellectually, pedantically, if you will. It doesn't mean in those ways that we have forgotten God. It means that on a practical basis, we behave sometimes as though God did not exist. It means that we plunge recklessly forward in life as Christians, rarely, if ever, consulting God or His Word or His will. Paul says, whatever you do, Timothy, don't do that. Remember Jesus Christ. You ever thought about this concept? We know now what it means, at least a little bit, of what it means to forget God, to fail to remember Him. But have you ever thought, why do we forget God? Do you know the Bible is quite precise in this area? What is it in life that would motivate a Christian to forget God practically? As I look at the Bible, and this is not an exhaustive list, but as I look at the Bible, I can think of at least four things that would motivate us to forget God, and they're stated in the Bible. The first is apathy. The Bible says in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 23, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord." Deuteronomy 4 and verse 23, "Take heed, lest you forget." In other words, don't be apathetic. The word "take heed" is the Hebrew root shamer. It means to exercise great care over something. It is a mandate for spiritual alertness. If we are not spiritually alert, if we are careless, if we are lazy, and man is as lazy as he dares to be, if we are careless and lazy and inattentive, if we lack spiritual alertness, all of those things will trigger patterns of behavior which tend to forget God. Apathy will motivate us to forget our God in this practical way. And so we're taught in the Scriptures that we're not to be slothful in business. We're taught that we're to be fervent in spirit, aglow with the Spirit. You could translate that, aglow with the Spirit, fervent in spirit. And we're to be serving the Lord, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Apathetic Christians are Christians who have forgotten God. Lazy, careless, spiritually inattentive, spiritually inalert Christians. Those who are not circumspect in their walk, they are those who have practically forgotten God. They plunge forward recklessly in life, rarely, if ever, consulting God, His Word, or His will in the issues of their daily life. The Bible says there's a second thing that would cause us to forget our God, and that's affluence. The first is apathy. The second is affluence, Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 12. Moses warned us in the Old Testament. He warned us of a time when we shall have houses full of all good things, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10. When our needs begin to be met, do you know what happens? We tend to forget that we have needs. And we tend to forget the God who alone can supply them. And so affluence has a way of permeating the modern Christian culture and motivating God's people, conditioning them to trigger patterns of behavior in which they forget God practically. They know He's there academically, intellectually. They're theists, but practically they're atheists. They've forgotten God.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We believe in a literal, physical resurrection. It wasn't just a spiritual quickening. We believe in the enlivenment of a corpse. The body of Jesus was made alive. He came out physically from that grave.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.